Good morning. Please stand up and take out your song sheet. And on the second verse, we will sing Share a Story. Share your story and join in the song. The second verse, Share Your Story and Join in the Song. But we're going to start with verse 1 and sing all the way through, including verse 5 from Berea Mennonite.
Come walk with us, the journey is long. 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 The journey is long. The journey is long. The journey is long.
Share your story. Share your story. Share your story. Share your story. Share your story.
And join in the song. And join in the song. And join in the song. And join in the song.
Come uplift us. Come uplift us. Come uplift us.
Good morning. My name is Armin Habegger, and as the leader of the Board of Directors, I declare the 62nd annual session of Central District Conference to be open. I am a member of Grace Mennonite Church in Pandora, Ohio, but a long time ago, I lived about 12 miles west of here in Elkhart, Indiana, where I graduated from high school. And I have a number of memories then as I come back to this Elkhart Goshen area. Perhaps the most prominent one is to be witness to the 1965 Palm Sunday tornadoes that devastated parts of this area in 1965. Fortunately, at that time, the chapel of the Sermon on the Mount was under construction, and with that chapel came a tunnel that connected the chapel to the main facility of the seminary, and there were many of us who took advantage of that shelter that evening, though we had first seen one large tornado form in the west and move in this direction. It damaged and destroyed a number of homes of members of the Hively Avenue Mennonite Church, about 2 miles south of here, but the seminary remained intact. But it is certainly a memory that I will keep with me for my life. I'm pleased to see all of you here. We continue to have good attendance at these annual sessions, and I'm wondering if I may ask anyone who is here for the very first time at an annual meeting to stand up. Thank you for being here. We hope you will return again at another session. I'm now going to invite you, Emma reminded me, to make sure you're at the right table. If you aren't, you're welcome to move. And assuming that you are all at the right tables, two things. One, there is a report that did not make it into the annual book, and it's on the tables. I think there are a couple copies. It's from the Chapel Hill Mennonite Church, and it's about joining Central District Conference. I think I'm correct in saying it would parallel what would be sent by or sent to the other two congregations who are also asking for participation in Central District. So you may share that around the table when that time comes. And secondly, now it's time to learn to know or re-greet those around your tables. And so let's take about 20 minutes to do that, sharing stories, where you're from, what you do, connection to Central District. It's wide open, but get to know each other. 20 minutes. Unfortunately, the conversations should now stop. Though I would tender an offer of $5,000 to Central District Conference, you could keep talking for the next 15 minutes and I will not deliver my State of the Conference message. Fifty years ago, Faith and Life Press published the first history of the Central District Conference, entitled Faith in Ferment, written by Samuel Floyd Pannebecker, Dr. S.F., the history recorded the first 10 years of existence of the Central District Conference. The book, I have a copy here, the book listed 41 congregations as having joined the Central District in 1957. The merger of the Central Conference of Mennonites and the Middle District Conference of the General Conference Mennonite Church. Located among eight churches, the congregations were situated as follows. In Illinois, 16 congregations. Indiana, 7. Iowa, 4. Kansas, 1. Michigan, 2. Missouri, 1. Nebraska, 1. And Ohio, 9. Almost sounds like a score in baseball or football. The total membership of the conference was a bit greater than 8,300. Now let's compare that to the distribution today. You'll discover some significant changes in the distribution of congregations, though at this moment, coincidentally, the total number of congregations is 41, the same. The congregations at this moment, because of some activities that will occur later today, the congregations are distributed among 10 states. Florida, 1. Georgia, 1. Illinois, 9. Indiana, now the top, 11. Iowa, 1. Michigan, 4. Minnesota, 1. Ohio, 10. Virginia, 1. And Wisconsin, 2. Total membership is around 4,000 persons. But enough of statistics. On the final page of Faith in Ferment, Dr. Pannebecker writes, What does a historian have to say of the future? The moving finger of history writes on, but the historian waits for further revelation. Perhaps one thing can be projected with assurance, that there has been change in the past, so there will be change in the future. We like to build for ourselves comfortable little nests where there is sufficient challenge to appease a Christian conscience, but not so much as to seriously disturb our way of life. God acts in history to disrupt old patterns and force adjustment to the unknown. Our fathers and mothers faced perplexities in a new continent and reacted, hesitantly at times, but with confidence in God. Only as we are shaken free of old supports and guarantees can faith begin to operate with trust and growth. Change has occurred this year in our district and in Mennonite Church USA as well. At this gathering, we will take the step to approve membership for two congregations in North Carolina and one more in Atlanta. We continue to have discussions with Allegheny Conference about whether both parties want to define a new union of congregations. Doug Luganbill and I spent some time in Laurelville during an Allegheny Conference meeting and joined them again in Hyattsville in November to listen and participate in a day-long discussion on the future direction of that conference. Several persons from that conference have joined us here, and Doug will introduce them later. Moreover, in this regard, a joint committee of three persons from each of the conferences continues to work on possible affiliation options. Dave Mishler, the conference minister of Allegheny, and our own Doug Luganbill will report a bit later about that process. We have already made visits to several other congregations that may want to affiliate with Central District, and you will hear some of their stories later today. As many of you well know, MCUSA has new leadership as of May 1, when Glenn Guyton became executive director upon Irvin Stutzman's retirement. Glenn will be officially installed here in the Elkhart-Goshen area in August. In the summer 2017, MCUSA conference attendees spent considerable time working on the Future Church Summit, seeking to reshape the identity of MCUSA. You will receive more information about that program in coming months if you have not already, in materials that are called The Journey Forward. And just last week or so, I got some more information on a document called Pathways that has just been released and is available for download to be used at the local church level to help in this transition. The Central District continues to be grateful for the financial support that we receive from congregations and individuals, as well as from other sources. We will continue to hope that strong financial base to enable the various efforts that the district pursues: Reign of God grants, staffing needs, the annual conference, board of directors, and committee meetings. Together with Everence, we have created an account to enable donors to gift stocks and mutual funds instead of cash, and we will make more information about that available shortly. As you all know, immigration has been one of the topics in the forefront of the national news in the last several years. At least that was the case when I wrote this report. But indeed, as we all know too, in the last several days. This issue has also commanded tangible attention in several of our Central District congregations during this past year. Two churches, Columbus Mennonite and Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship, have declared their buildings to be sanctuary spaces for immigrants whose cases are under review. Columbus Mennonite has been hosting a woman for 8 months already, and that continues. More locally, some CDC congregations here in the Elkhart-Goshen area participated in a community-wide conversation about the proposed construction of an Immigration and Customs Enforcement Detention Center, which conversations ultimately resulted in the withdrawal of the proposal. Many congregations continue to study the seeds of racism and explore appropriate responses. Other congregations are learning about the doctrine of discovery, an issue that prompted significant comment in Orlando. developing interfaith relationships, seeking to understand and respect peoples of different faith perspectives in their communities, posting the three-language welcoming signs in front yards of homes and churches in diverse places. Many of us, as people of faith, are engaging Scripture, worshiping faithfully, and discerning how to be God's healing and hope in our communities. Last year, we learned that Dr. James Harder would retire at the end of June 2018 after giving Bluffton University 12 years of leadership. He and Karen have served Bluffton well during their tenure and have been a presence at these conferences each year. Karen is excused from today's conference, and I'll say something about that in just a minute. I asked Jim to stand for a well-deserved recognition and thanks. He and Karen plan to remain in Bluffton for the near term as she continues to teach at the university, but they have a much more important responsibility now. They are the proud grandparents of two young granddaughters who were born early this month in Thailand, but are residing for another 3 months yet in Cambodia before returning to the United States. So if you want some pictures, talk to Jim. I also want to recognize three members of the board of directors who are leaving the board at the conclusion of the conference. Two of them are not here. Jorge Veelman, who has taken a position in Miami. I don't know what would cause him to want to leave the beautiful Midwest for Florida, but he has. And Marlene Steiner-Suter, who chose to leave her position at the conclusion of her first term. And Roger Nofziger, is he here? Okay, is here. He has been serving as our treasurer, and his tenure ends at the end of June. They have served their roles well, and we appreciate their time with us. Board members who continue include Anna Yoder Schlebaugh, our president-elect, Carrie Mast, our secretary, who doesn't have to take too many notes, Tim Lind, who is being promoted to treasurer, and myself. Without the commitment of the Central District staff, our various activities would be much more difficult. Keeping us on task without being overly intrusive are Emma Hartman, conference administrator, Beth Yoder, our bookkeeper, Mary Clausen, our editor, and she is in the back. You'll see her with her camera in hand most of the time. And Doug Luganbill, our conference minister, who has served me most recently by offering good suggestions and editing these remarks. The Central District Board and several committees that operate on behalf of the district continue to function because of the willingness of persons in the district to serve. I encourage you to consider accepting a position of leadership if asked. The assignment will certainly take some time, but it also rewards with new friendships, accomplishments, and semi-annual visits to Camp Friedenswald. The Central District exhibits good spirit. Comments garnered from regional gatherings and from these annual assemblies testify that participants enjoy themselves among other Central District people. That work gets done, that prayer deepens our experience, that laughter lightens our moments together. These same qualities evidence themselves at board and committee meetings as well. We believe this is a good place to be. May we be a blessing to each other as we participate here for these days. Now I'm going to ask Donna Mast to come up to lead us in centering, silent reflection, and prayer.
When Carmen and I met with Doug to talk about worship plans, And we told him about using the Thomas Merton quote as our confession last evening. He said, it seems to me like that would be a good flow and a good way to bring some continuity between worship and work. And I come from a place of knowing that worship and work are one. So would you join me as I lead you in this prayer? Let's pray. Lord God, we have no idea where we are going. We might think we do, but we don't. Not really. You do. We don't see the road ahead of us. We cannot know for certain where it will end. But we trust you. We trust you in those times when we might feel lost. And so in those times, we will not fear. For you are ever with us. And you will never leave us to face our perils alone. Thank you, God. Amen.
Our story about Silverwood, which is here in the Goshen area, will be given to us by Ami Baumgartner.
Good morning. I was asked to share about Silverwood by reading a letter written by one of our pastors, John Weisop. At Silverwood, our pastoral team is made up of Jeremy Hsu, Donna Mast, John and Amy Weisop, and we're looking and interviewing for our one other position. So we're a rich congregation with wonderful leadership and lots of community strength within our congregation. I've never been asked to read what someone else has written. I have enough words of my own, but I will get to the letter. You know, the power of a woman and a microphone. What should I do? In closing, he ends with one-on-one connection over dinner, friendships are made. And the beginning of his letter says, it all started years ago at Silverwood, and I'm 30 years older than Jonathan. So when he says years ago, I already think, oh, not his years are not as many as my years. So I'm just going to preface his letter with a tiny bit of what I shared at my table. About 40 years ago, I arrived at Goshen College from Miami University in Ohio. A Methodist in background, I grew up with covered dish dinners and MYF, Methodist Youth Fellowship. So maybe I was ready, but I certainly had no idea where God was leading me. The first two girls that I met at Miami University were Lisa Triplett and Jane Milliger, both from Bluffton, Ohio. I didn't know of Bluffton. But then over dinner, friendships were made, and the next weekend, Emmy Bone came to visit Miami University. And so I heard about her college, Goshen College, and I thought, how quaint. A small school in Indiana. And 2 years later, I get a letter from Fred Littweiler that says, I met a friend of yours on campus last week, Emmy Bone. Omi, she says, you want to be a teacher. Let me tell you about our program. He mentioned SST. The word Haiti came up. My MYF sponsored youth at an orphanage in Haiti. He mentioned placement of educators, and I thought, fantastic, I'm going to need a job. And so I transferred to Goshen College because over dinner friendships were made. At Goshen College, a friend invited me to Silver Street. And off to Silver Street I went. Viren Schmidt was calling droves of college kids to meaningful sermons, and I was one of those and became a member at Silver Street. We became Silverwood. I was invited to a small group, and Jim Baumgartner was in the small group. And we, over dinner, became friends, and then we married. And then I met his mother, Phyllis. And so Phyllis brings me to Central District Conference. And now, years and years later, here I am with a new family, really because of one-on-one connections. So Jonathan begins his letter, "It all started years ago at Silverwood." That's true. "With a program called CFN, Church Family Night. It was a night of fellowship and food. During a fall session and a spring session, we met for a number of Wednesdays for a time to build relationships and eat together, wanting to get to know people outside our walls. Church Family Night soon morphed into Wednesday Connections. Similar to Church Family Night, we had food and fellowship, covered dish dinners and carry-ins. But the congregation was encouraged to invite people in to build relationships with our community as well. Relationships were made and friendships strengthened. The food was amazing and conversations were priceless. These nights brought a lot of people to the table on a Wednesday night. But like the saying says, all good things must come to an end. There were so many good things happening with Wednesday Connections, but it was a lot of hard work, and it had run its course. Now jump ahead a few years, and we decide at Silverwood to become an outreach in a different way. We're taking a walk down a different path. We were going to host classes for the community, specifically now for parents. We hosted a Triple P parenting class. This class was advertised to the community, a local elementary school we partner with, and through a fostering company for foster parents to gain hours toward their annual educational hours. It was unknown how many would attend, but we were praying that God would walk with us as we walk with others. It turned out that the numbers of people that attended was not as exorbitant, but the impact was just as meaningful as with our large groups at Wednesday Connections. The smaller number of people seemed to allow people to connect a little better. People were intentional to talk to visitors each week to connect in a different way. There were multiple people that attended multiple classes. One connection was Josh and John. Josh was attending the class each week and enjoying the good food. John came for the good food, but also to meet a few new people. After some general conversations, it was discovered that Josh was a beekeeper. John wanted to get his start in beekeeping. And this was the key. Finally, with the ability to make a one-on-one connection over dinner, friendships are made. We at Silverwood are encouraged to see what God will lead us to in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, Omi. We will have more stories later in our program. I now want to introduce several committees who are operating on behalf of the Central District during this annual meeting. The Resolutions Committee is composed of David Stolpe from Milwaukee. If you're here, please stand. Sue Ann Von Gutten from Hively Avenue. And George Lehman, my former college roommate from First Mennonite in Bluffton. The Listening Committee, Brian Bolton, Jane Thorley Rushley, and Tim Stair. Thank you. The Parliamentarian, the one and only Gerald Mast. He has already provided helpful information. There are medical persons on call. I don't have names of persons, but they're available if you need medical care. And the youth delegates' mentors are Cindy Rennick. Okay. And so the other person need. Okay.
And our name is a medical person on call.
Okay. And now I'll ask Carrie to come up and provide a summary review of the 2017 annual meeting minutes.
This is one thing that I do as secretary, even though I am not normally recording minutes, thanks to Emma. I would like to note that I did have to take minutes at a meeting yesterday, though. I am offering a brief summary of the 61st annual session of the Central District Conference hosted on the Bluffton University campus by First Mennonite in Bluffton, Grace Mennonite, Cincinnati Mennonite Fellowship, Emmaus Road Mennonite Fellowship, Lima Mennonite and Shalom Community in Ann Arbor. These minutes are on pages 23 through 47 of your book. We gathered June 22nd through the 24th in 2017 under the leadership of Conference Minister Doug Luganville, who had completed nearly a year of service at that point to Central District. Among the highlights of last year's gathering was the searing heat from the red-hot steel of the blacksmithing work by raw tools as guns were transformed to garden tools, searing heat from Mother Nature and our own deep emotions as we gathered in balmy Founders Hall to hear the testimonies and stories of people affected by gun violence, including the worship speaker, Krista Dutt of Mennonite Central Committee. Searing heat from Drew Hart, the plenary speaker, who called us out, who challenged us with questions like, how is your church seeing racial minorities beyond the one-dimensional? Where are there opportunities in your neighborhood, both for unlearning and new learning? And are you willing to learn from the radical love of Black people and the consequences of those actions? He also pointed out that lament is a necessary step to our very impatient selves who like action. We also observed fruitfulness in the leaves and grapes that appeared on the grapevines as visuals in Marbeck Center and in our worship space. Fruitfulness through conversations in worship among Doug Luganville, Jorge Bielman, and LaFern Harvey, and Anita Rediger and Emily Hedrick. And I might add, fledgling fruitfulness through the connections of the children and youth throughout our conference who gathered to go creek walking and tie-dyeing and game playing. Business was routine in actions, approving the previous year's minutes, the 2017-18 slate from Personnel Committee, and the 2017-18 spending plan. But it reached a more exciting level as we voted to receive Open Table fellowship into CDC membership. And that excitement extended into the introductions of Berea Mennonite Fellowship, Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship, and Raleigh Mennonite Church, all congregations seeking membership in Central District Conference. And through all of these actions, there was nary an intervention from the parliamentarian.
Is there a motion to accept the minutes of the 2017 annual meeting?
So moved.
And second? Did you get it?
Carried.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is carried. Thank you.
And for this year, additional actions that delegates will be asked to take are the 2018-19 slate from Personnel Committee, vote to receive into membership Berea Mennonite Church, Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship, and Raleigh Mennonite Church, and the 2018-19 spending plan.
Thank you, Carrie. Roger Nofziger will present the Treasurer's Report and the presentation of the proposed spending plan for the next fiscal year. I should note, mustaches are not a requirement for membership on the Board of Directors.
You're glad to know that, aren't you, Anna? I certainly have appreciated my 6 years as your treasurer. I mentioned yesterday in the board meeting that I think in the previous 5 years we ended with a surplus, and this, as you'll see, hear from me here in a minute, this might be the first year that we don't end with a surplus, so I'm not exactly going out with a bang, but that gives opportunity for the new treasurer to come in and to shine brightly in this next year. Before we get to that proposed spending plan, if you would turn to page 77 in your books, just to take a quick glance at the balance sheet for your central district. You'll see at the top of that balance sheet that we have cash of almost $200,000 and the missional fund of $142,309, and these numbers are all as of the end of April, by the way. The $142,309, that is invested in a variety of stocks, bonds, mutual funds at Mennonite Foundation at Everance. And then only I'll highlight a couple things on the bottom half of that balance sheet. On one is $19,831 on agency transfer. We do have quite a few funds each year that come through Central District and then are passed on to other institutions. So that's what that almost $20,000 is on the liability side. And then cash reserve. Cash reserve of $93,743.39. That cash reserve is healthy. Most places and most experts suggest you have about 6 months cash reserve. We don't have quite that much, but we're still in a very, very healthy position. Now, if you would, turn back to page 48. The spreadsheet on page 48 has seven columns. The odd-numbered columns, 1, 3, 5, and 7, are the spending plans for the last for this year, the previous 2 years, and then the last column, column 7, is the proposed spending plan for 18-19. The one area that we are keeping the same is congregational giving. But if you read the reporter that came out a few weeks ago, that is a bit of a concern this year in that congregational giving. So far this year, through April was $149,504. That's in the sixth column, top number. In the month of May, there was about 7,000 came in from congregations, so we're at 156,000 through the end of May against a goal of 192.5. That's where, unless we have, I'm looking at Emma, unless we have an amazing month of June from congregational giving, that's an area that will likely come up short this year. It is wonderful that so many of you have provided funding for the conference through additional giving outside of the congregation, which is the fourth number down. The goal was 21,500, and through the end of April, we had almost 21,000, and through the end of May, we have 21,662. Which means we hit our goal on that at the end of May, which is fantastic. Thank you so much for that. You'll see then on the totals in the fifth column and in the seventh column, the total spending plan for 17-18 was $235,880. For the new year, we're suggesting $234,257. So almost the same, slightly less, about $1,000 less. On the expense side, pretty much everything is as it was this year. There aren't any really outlier numbers that we need to point out. So that's the proposed spending plan for the new year. We will take action on that tomorrow, and so I would suggest that you take a look at that, ask me or anyone else on the board any questions about that in the next 24 hours, and then we'll come back and review that and take action tomorrow. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is the presentation of Gifts Discernment Committee and Slate, Peter Esch Scott.
Good morning. I'm Peter H. Scott from Milwaukee Mennonite Church, and on behalf of the Gifts Discernment Committee, I'd like to thank all who have served CDC, both in formal roles and the many of you that serve and support the work of the conference informally. Thank you. I'd also like to introduce my fellow committee members. As I say your name, if you're here, please stand where you are. Sally Weaver Glick from Open Table Mennonite Fellowship. Joel Miller from Columbus Mennonite, Ruth Gingrich from 8th Street Mennonite, John Hilty from Grace Mennonite, and Lois Hostetler from Mennonite Church of Normal. Thank you all for your help and work in pulling this slate together, and we need to thank Doug and Emma for all their help and support throughout this process. Now I invite you to turn to page 50 in your report book to see the recommendations for our 2018-19 slate of nominees. Would Rachel Stolpe and Phil Martins please stand if you're here? There are two member-at-large positions to be filled on the Board of Directors. We are recommending Rachel Stolpe from Milwaukee Mennonite Church and Phil Martins from First Mennonite Church of Champaign-Urbana. We should note that Tim Lind is moving into the treasurer's position. Since Tim was already serving on the board as a member at large, he will complete his term as treasurer, and one of these nominated positions will be filling his previous role. Thank you, Rachel and Phil. Moving on to the ministerial committee, would Renee and Michael please stand? Renee Kanegi is an incumbent but has not yet been elected by the delegates. She was appointed by the board after resignation, making her still eligible to serve two terms in addition to the time she has already served. She is a pastor at Cincinnati Mennonite Fellowship. And Michael Crosby is a pastor at First Mennonite Church of Champaign-Urbana. Thank you both. Would Valerie and Matthew stand as we look at our recommendations for members on the Missional Church Committee? Valerie Showalter is a pastor at Shalom Mennonite Congregation, and Matthew Yoder is a pastor at Grace Mennonite Church. Thank you both for your willingness to serve. And if Anita, Todd, and Rick are here, could you please stand? These three are our recommendations for Camp Friedenswald Board. Anita Rediger attends Emmaus Road Fellowship. Todd Kirkton attends 8th Street Mennonite Church, and Rick Buderbaugh attends Evanston Mennonite Church. All three have served a term and are eligible and willing to serve another. Thank you. Finally, we have a nomination for the Bluffton University Board of Trustees. Jane, if you are here, I think I saw you earlier, can you please stand? Jane Reschle is a pastor at Mennonite Church of Normal and has offered to serve on Bluffton's Board of Trustees. We apologize that Jane isn't in your report book. She was appointed after the book went to the printer. Thank you, Jane. Having shared our proposed nominees, the Gifts Discernment Committee moves the slate be adopted as presented.
And I will ask for a second for the motion. Janine? Further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion is carried. And I will ask Doug to come forward and provide a commissioning prayer.
For those who are going to be starting, whose names were just mentioned, as well as those who are currently serving on any committee or board of or appointed position in Central District Conference, if those folks would please stand, all of you who are serving in some capacity in Central District Conference, and we certainly do appreciate and thank you for your work. And I invite others who are around them to simply lay a hand on a shoulder, if that's comfortable for them, just to offer your support and encouragement or extend a hand out to them symbolically, knowing that God is present with all of us. And let's bow for prayer. God, our Creator and our friend, you have generously shared gifts of leadership with your people, equipping each one called with the resources and abilities to serve well. Thank you for those who have said yes to serving on committees and boards and special projects that build up the Central District Conference congregations and ministries. We recognize and celebrate the different gifts of each one. We pray for wisdom, for vision, for courage, for prophetic words, for compassionate hearts, for creative spirits, for gentle souls, for Christ-like love and for safety in their travels. Be with us all as we seek to live out vision, healing, and hope, and as we partner with you in your shalom-making mission. Amen. And thank you.
We will take a break now until 10:15, but before we do, especially for those who are first-timers here, the gavel that is used by Central District Conference was made by Dr. Howard Raid, who was a longtime professor at Bluffton College University. It is on the ends of the gavel, it reads, "This gavel is made of wood from the West Point, Iowa Methodist Church. And on the other end, in this building, General Conference of Mennonites of North America originated, or organized, excuse me, May 28 to 29, 1860. So it continues as a famous, a well-known piece of our history and is used at our annual meetings. Okay, enjoy the break. We'll resume again at 10:15.